Cats. Let's get started. Good to see everyone again. I was away for a couple of weeks. So hello and welcome to our guests. If you're here for the first time, welcome if you're joining us online. And can you guys grab the Bibles? They're on the tables. We're looking at page 994. We're in Luke chapter 18 again, starting in verse 18. And that's right, after 6 weeks in our series in Luke called Kingdom Come, we are slow walking our way through this gospel, this portion of the gospel. Today, we get to turn to a new page. Page 994. I wasn't here last week, but I heard Andy gave money away in his talk. So how many people, Jackie went home with some cash. You'll see the title at the top of this section is The Rich in the Kingdom of God. So maybe, Jackie, you'll have a chance to give it away by the end. In case you're already thinking, seeing that title, well, I can go home early because I'm definitely not rich. This doesn't apply to me. Let me just say, hang in there. Hang in there with me. This is for you if you're rich or if you're struggling financially. It's for you if you're young or you're old. It's for you if you're in the position of power and influence or if you feel powerless and overlooked. So let's read it together, this section of it. I'll read it out loud, beginning at verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with human beings is possible with God." And Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." All right, so there we have it. Let me start with this question. Guess who? Who here has played it? You guys, did you grow up playing it? You know it? Little game of guess who? Peter looks like he's a champion over there. He knows it well. It's a one-to-one board game. I have a card in front of me with a face and a name, and you have all of the possible faces and names on the opposite board in front of you, and then you ask me yes or no questions that describe that person. So, for example, does this person have a hat? And I say, yes. And so, goodbye, Joseph. Is this person wearing glasses? Yes. And so, goodbye, Ashley. Jay, it is. From the looks of it, Jay's from New York City. I'm not sure, but eventually you guess whose name is on the card by process of elimination. And I have to say, I totally dominate in this game. So if anybody wants to challenge me after church today, bring it on. Well, we're in a section of Luke that asks this question. Guess who gets to receive the kingdom of God? What would their description be? Is it the super religious people? Is it the tax collector? Is it the children? Is it the wealthy, the powerful, the well-connected? Who gets into the kingdom and why? And are they wearing a hat or glasses? And that's exactly the question that this man comes to Jesus with in our text. Look at verse 18. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Here's what we know about him. He's in a position of authority. It's in verse 18. Maspel's gospel says he's young. We know he's very wealthy. That's in verse 23. He's devoted. He thinks of himself as a basically good person in verse 21. But here's another thing about him. He has an incomplete picture of who Jesus is. He calls Jesus in verse 18, good teacher. And Jesus objects to being called that. Verse 19, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, Jesus isn't denying that he's good. He's comparing himself directly to God, as in only God is good enough to keep the law perfectly. And so guess who you're looking at? There's a big difference, can we not agree, between a good teacher and a perfect person. Jesus is saying, don't call me good teacher. I don't want to be flattered. I want followers. So this rich ruler has an incomplete picture of Jesus, but he also has an inflated view of himself, doesn't he? Look at this. Here's Jesus' response to his question, verse 20. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. Not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Jesus is listing some, but not all of the Ten Commandments here. And Jesus says, you know these. You know these already. So points for Bible knowledge. Verse 21. The man says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. He's got his checklist, and he thinks he's done it, and he's got a gold star on the star chart at the refrigerator back home. But the thing is, how many of us have thought exactly that? If there is a heaven, I think I'll get there because I've basically been a good person. Even major religions around us believe this, that if you pray enough, if you fast enough, if you do enough good deeds, then you can earn your way into heaven. But deep down inside, many of us know that isn't true, isn't it? We want to think of ourselves as good, maybe not perfect, but just good enough. But we don't want to admit our secret thoughts, our lusts, our anger, our pride, our greed, our insecurities. And that's what Jesus calls out here now in verse 22. You still lack one thing. Look at that. Jesus challenges this man's greed. It's one thing, but really it's this man's everything. His idolatry of wealth and of possessions. Jesus cuts to the man's heart with the one thing that's still missing. Verse 22, sell everything and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Jesus gives the command that will kill off the one thing that grips this man's heart more than everything else. Jesus says, to get the kingdom of God, I need you to take down that one remaining barrier between me and you. And Jesus could see that this one thing that this man lacked was freedom from possessions. Greed had a grip on him. And so Jesus says, sell it all and give to the poor. And just here to the side, the Bible has a lot to say about the poor. If we look at the whole story of the Bible, biblical scholars would say that 1 out of 10 lines in the whole Bible has something to do with the poor and our response to them. And interestingly, in Luke, that becomes 1 out of every 6 lines. Now, is Jesus telling all of us here that the guaranteed express ticket to heaven is for us to all rush home and set up a car boot sale of all of our worldly possessions as quickly as possible? Maybe to run off to the charity shops this afternoon? No. It's not a universal command to all of us. It's a personal one to this man because his heart is gripped by greed. But you know, you don't have to be rich to be greedy, do you? I really like this quote from Canadian Catholic writer Ronald Rollheiser. He says, "Greed in adults takes a subtle disguise." Here it is up on the screen. "What we hunger for and want to accumulate for ourselves is not so much houses, yachts, and fat bank accounts," although he adds, "that would be nice. Rather, what we want is to accumulate experience, status, and reputation. More than that, we want people to recognize us for our money. We want them to recognize us for our good name, our achievements, and our knowledge." He says the greed to be known and admired eventually trumps the greed for money. So let me ask you today, young or old, rich or poor, what is your one thing? The one thing that would be the hardest to give up? The biggest barrier preventing you from wholeheartedly following Jesus? And maybe just a few clues to help you uncover it. You know, take a look at what occupies your thoughts, that thing that you think about the most. That might be your thing. Or maybe it's a place of identity, you know, something you've built up for yourself that you're proud of, that you'd rather hold on to than surrender to God. For me, it's always been ambition and achievement. I've wanted to be successful and well-known and well-liked. That's why we're live streaming to 30,000 people right now. Jesus says, that thing, I want you to give it up. Don't just set it to the side. Abandon it. Leave behind the one thing that you treasure more than anything. Earlier in Luke, Jesus says it like this. We've got it here on the screen. "Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." That's Luke 14. That word "give up," it translates here, "have a continual attitude of abandonment." It means to say goodbye to something or to someone over and over again. So again, it's not about the things that we possess. It's about the things that possess us. Because that one thing is everything. He doesn't tell us all to sell all of our possessions, but he does tell us, let go or say goodbye to whatever it is that's keeping you from following me. So look at the end of verse 22. He says, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." That's the invitation to all of us, to come and to follow Jesus, to give up the good stuff to get the best. And the rich ruler hears this, and I imagine he ponders for a couple of quiet minutes. Don't you just wonder what's going through his mind? Is he thinking about his collection of sports cars or sports camels? And he just can't do it. Matthew's version of the story says he turns and he walks away. We don't hear him say anything. We don't know what he's thinking, but we know how he feels. Verse 23 says he became very sad. And Jesus knows why. And Luke writes it down. Because he was very wealthy. But don't misunderstand. He's not sad because he's rich. He's sad because he thought he'd done everything right. But there was one thing he just couldn't let go of. He walks away because if following Jesus means selling everything, lowering that final barrier, then that's just too high of a price. Jesus looked at him, verse 24, and I love that detail. Jesus looks at him. I imagine Jesus looking at the back of him as he walks away. And I wonder how Jesus feels in this moment. He knows it's a really hard thing to ask. And that's what he says. As this rich young man walks away, he says in verse 24, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And listen, that's not just a cute illustration. It's utterly impossible. It's ridiculous because it's never going to happen. Jesus is saying it's not just a hard thing, it's an impossible thing. When your heart is attached to your wealth, it's like a big four-legged animal squeezing through a tiny, tiny hole. This is what it's like for anyone who relies on their money, on their knowledge, on their good deeds, on their family connections to get into heaven. It's not just hard, it's impossible. The issue for the rich ruler isn't just his wealth, it's his starting point. Look at the question in the first place in verse 18. What does he ask? He says, what must I do? And Jesus points out, it is really hard, hopeless even, for humans to do anything to earn their way into heaven. And so we go back to our scene here. That's what those who heard this exchange now are saying to each other, having heard it. I picture them sort of scratching their heads, maybe shuffling their feet in the dirt. Man, they say, if saying goodbye to everything is the requirement, verse 26, then who can be saved? You know, this feels hopeless. It's impossible. But Jesus has an answer to that too. Look at verse 27. What is impossible with human beings is possible with God. Andy said it in his talk last week. How do you get into the kingdom of God? How do you get it? You receive it. You don't earn it or inherit it. You simply receive it. And in our story, Peter, he can't contain himself. He puts it all together in verse 28. He says, we've left all we had to follow you. And just note that theme here in this passage of everything and all. In verse 21, the rich man says, I've kept all the rules. And in verse 22, Jesus says, sell everything. And here, Peter, in verse 28, says, we've left it all to follow you. And Jesus confirms, that's what I'm asking of you. And let me tell you, when you truly leave it all behind, you receive back so much more. Look at verse 29. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, that's not a call to leave your spouse or abandon your kids, but it is a heart check. It's also not a promise of financial blessing. Don't misread it. One commentator says, but in a spiritual sense, you get inward riches, you get spiritual friendships, you get true joy. As I reflect on it, I think we need God's grace to make the impossible possible, but we also need each other. I noticed that reading this through this time in preparation, the rich young ruler shows up alone and he leaves alone. How isolating that must be. But Jesus says, come and follow me, come and be with me, and he promises the riches of family and community, the place of belonging and a place of being known and being welcomed. And let me just say that as one who's left my family and friends back in the States, in my home country, to follow Jesus here in this community, I'm so blessed by the depth of spiritual family we have here at Good Shepherd Mission. And I know that's the story of many of us, whether you left your home country and now you're here, or whether you left decades ago to move to East London, or you were born down the street. You may have heard the famous words of missionary Jim Elliot. He says, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And what came to mind was just over a year ago, we celebrated the life of John Davies, a former member of the Good Shepherd Mission Fellowship, and we heard in his memorial that one of his things he would say is, my hobby is the kingdom of God. I love that. Friends, here is the plain message of the gospel laid out before us today. Only the perfect get eternal life in the kingdom of God. And the truth is, it's impossible to be perfect on your own. If we were playing guess who, the question would be, is this person perfect in every way? And every face and name on your side of the board would be turned down, except for one, Jesus alone. Only the perfect person gets to inherit the kingdom of God, eternal life. But then Jesus winks and he says, but come with me because I can get you in. Let my sacrifice become your perfection, he says. It's impossible for humans, but by the grace of God, through the power of his cross and his resurrection, the impossible has been made possible. Sin has been wiped away. Death has been defeated. Jesus gives his everything to do the one thing that we cannot do for ourselves. So what must we do to get the kingdom of God? We lower that final barrier. We say goodbye to the one thing holding us back, and we say goodbye over and over again, don't we? And we begin to trust and to follow him. And this reality changes how we see ourselves. Because you can never be rich enough, or studied enough, or perfect enough, or well-connected enough to earn your way into heaven on your own. And it changes how we see Jesus, too. He's more than a good teacher. He isn't our political hero. He's not just a miracle worker, but he's Savior and Lord, deserving of all of our trust. So guess who was the only one who truly abandoned everything he possessed to win life for us through his death on the cross? Jesus alone. There's an old song that Christians sing that says it like this: Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. And because he paid it all, how do we respond? Well, we have two options. We can turn and walk away in our sadness, or we can surrender and give up that one last thing that we're holding on to. We can learn to trust him and depend on him. Another song that Christians sing, it's an old one. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. So guess who gets the inheritance of the kingdom of God? Last week, Andy said it was the ones who trust and depend on God like a little child trusts and depends on a parent. And this week, in comparison, it's not the one who trusts in their wealth or trusts in their Bible knowledge or in their good connections or their good deeds. They trust and depend on God like a child, enough to leave everything else behind and follow him. So let me pray for us. Lord, where we have barriers in our lives that stand in the way of us completely trusting you, we pray by your power that you would break in, that we would hear that call to abandon everything over and over again to follow you. I pray that for myself and for each of us in this room. I pray for that for us collectively as a people here in this mission outpost of Bethnal Green. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid every cost. We thank you that you made the impossible possible by your death and resurrection. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow you. In your name, amen.